number 21-2282, Sceptre Canada Incorporated against Nurseville LLC. Ms. Israel.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. This is a case where the Board misapplied the law of obviousness, failing to consider the prior art for all that it discloses, and making findings with respect to motivation to combine and reasonable expectation of success that are not supported by substantial evidence.
Ms. Israel, your problem is the 2-inch limitation. Because the board found and said it was compelling evidence that the Eagle arrestor doesn't extend greater than 2 inches. It was 1.8 inches. How do you get around that?
Thank you for that question, Your Honor. So the claim recites that a flame arrestor has to extend at least 2 inches downwardly. Sceptre presented evidence relying on the teachings of the Stevic 1 reference, specifically pointing to the Eagle Type 1 arrestor that also disclosed, if you look at Appendix 823, that the arrestor would be similar in size, the tested arrestors were similar in size to the Just Right device, which is shown to be 3 inches long. What the board did effectively was rely on a commercial embodiment of an Eagle arrestor and not the specific teachings of the Stevic 1 reference. So just because there's a commercial Eagle arrestor that may have been 1.8 inches long does not change the fact that the Stevic 1 reference discloses that the arrestors that are shown there were similar in size to the Just Right device, which would include being 3 inches long.
But you've got the problem of Stevic 2, which clarifies what Stevic 1 does and brings us back to the 1.8 and something other than the 2. And that was the problem you had, right? And that was what the board concluded was the result. And so a lot of the fight here is whether or not they should have included allowed your reply to come in, which purports to address that, although I must say candidly, I don't see how it does, right? I mean, wasn't this just a problem with the petition? Should have said the disclosure, and then it would have all also been obvious to modify the 1.8 to be a little longer and give reasons for that through expert testimony or whatever. And it never did that. It didn't do that in the first instance, and it didn't do that in the reply, right?
It did not. But
why didn't it need to, given what Stevic 2 says about Stevic 1 and how it clarifies we're just talking about 1.8?
Well, again, that's focusing on a commercial embodiment of the Eagle 1 product. That's not focusing on the specific disclosures of Stevic 1. And Stevic 1 says that the flame arrestors, when measured, the temperature of the flame arrestor installed at the base of the spout and similar in size to the Just Right device. That's what it refers to at the bottom of A.
But it talks about a certain device was similar in size to Just Right?
Or Just Right.
They were talking about Eagle, right? I mean, we all understand and appreciate they were talking about Eagle.
I believe they were talking about each of them. Because it says 15 tests were conducted with flame arrestors with the same aged gasoline under the same conditions, and it says that all the flame arrestors have been successfully tested in gas cans. So this is not a case of anticipation. It's a case of obviousness. And
well, can I take you to 314 in the appendix? Because this is really the reply that the fight is over, right?
Yes.
And I mean, the two paragraphs there under two, it seems to agree that describes that Eagle is in this, They continue to talk about Eagle. And I don't even understand the explanation here. Those two paragraphs which purport to respond to the patent owner's response. I don't understand where this gets you. It says, okay, Stevic 1, including Eagle, they're similar in size. And regardless, it is undisputed that Stevic 1 and 2 taught 1.8 to 3 inches in length were both effective options. Even if the board had let this in, I don't understand how this moves the needle at all in responding to the patent owner's response about Stevic 2.
So, the reply effectively was explaining the petition, the evidence in the petition, which did rely on and cite to the 3 inches in length for a flame arrester, saying it's similar in size to the Just Right device. In talking about Stevic 1 and Stevic 2, teaching that both that a flame mitigation device of 1.8 or 3 inches in length were both effective options, that's effectively saying that Stevic 2 may disclose specifically that an Eagle flame arrester of 1.8 inches in length, but that still doesn't detract from the specific disclosure in Stevic 1 of a device that is similar in size to the Just Right device. Again, this is not a case of where the combination is based on a commercial Eagle flame arrester. It's based on the teachings of the Stevic 1 reference. And as shown in the petition, as shown in the SAFE declaration, Scepter was relying on teachings of a flame arrester having the properties that are recited, including the properties that are in the chart shown at A823, and a length that was similar in size to the Just Right device shown to be 3 inches. Just because a commercial embodiment of an Eagle device, as established by the Scepter 2, shows that something was 1.8 inches, doesn't detract from the teachings of the Stevic 1 reference that the devices tested were similar in size to the Just Right device having a 3 inches in length. Did I address your questions with respect to...
Yeah, I appreciate the effort. But can I just moving on to just one other thing. I mean, the board had... reasonably in your brief treat these as three issues, but the board really combined the motivation to combine and the reasonable expectation of success. So that's an alternative holding, right? So even if we agree with everything you say about the board not being right, not being correct in its treatment of those two issues, if we disagree with you on this first issue, it's still an affirmance, correct?
We do need to address all three issues. That's correct.
Does Stevic disclose only metal rather than plastic? I see both.
So, Stevic 1 discloses the can material being plastic, right? Stevic 2 discloses a flame arrester, the one that's by manufacturer D, being a plastic flame arrester. And if I may turn to, at least briefly, to the motivation to combine argument or the issue, that's one where, the board's analysis isn't supported by substantial evidence. So Scepter relied on the combination of the teachings of the Eagle Type 1 arrester example in Stevic 1 with a mesh hole size of 1.143 centimeters and combining that with teachings in Stevic 2 of a plastic flame arrester having a wire thickness of 0.75 millimeters. And this is where the board actually supplied its own judgment, saying it wouldn't have even started with the Eagle Type 1 arrester, but would have started with the the flame arrestor of manufacturer D, which in fact Nospil said wouldn't even have been effective. And from there, it incorrectly concluded, without any support, that increasing wire thickness by 0.27 millimeters from the 0.48 millimeters teaching of the Eagle type 1 arrestor example of Stevic 1 to 0.75 would decrease the hole diameter of an Eagle flame arrestor by that same amount. And that's not supported at all by the record. There, Mr. Safai had testified that the proposed mesh would have had a hole diameter using the 0.143 centimeters of Stevic 1, but the wire thickness of 0.75 of Stevic 2, but then calculated to have fewer perforations. And you can see that at Appendix 771 to 74. In other words, wire thickness and hole diameter are independent variables. By contrast, the record is replete with evidence that they're supporting a motivation to combine as to why plastic gas cans were desirable, why there were reasons to use plastic flame arrestors instead of metal, and why there are reasons to design flame arrestors with larger diameter holes. Finally, the board also erred in its reasonable expectation of success analysis, requiring thresholds that are not part of the claims. The reasonable expectation of success doesn't require any specific degree of efficacy that's not specifically claimed. Here, they effectively tried to read in unclaimed properties of thermal conductivity and thermal inertia into the claims. And the board actually, in its motivation to combine analysis, said it would have started with a plastic flame arrestor, and thus it was known that a plastic flame arrestor would work in the art, and the board was requiring a degree of efficacy beyond what's required by the claims.
Is this also the one where you make the APA argument of these are the analysis of the board went far beyond what the other side was arguing in it?
They did both in the motivation to combine and reasonable expectation of success analysis, yes. Unless the board has further questions, I'll say
Let's hear from the other side, and you'll have your rebuttal.
Thank you.
Mr. Evans.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The board made several factual findings that are supported by substantial evidence, and once you reach that conclusion, I believe the case can be affirmed. The board found that Scepter myopically focused on the Eagle flame arrestor. When you look at the petition, they were very, very, very focused on the Eagle flame arrestor. Now, this was a paper on a product. It was describing a product. It was not a patent application. It was trying to broadly disclose ideas. It was a paper on a particular product.
So to just dive in terms of what the board treated and what went down with. So Stevic 1, they relied on the fact, assume it's Eagle, so we'll buy that. And it's 1.8, and it said substantially similar. And then what's Stevic 2 comes in and says the Eagle is only 1.8? So what's the argument? That it is substantially similar was the wrong standard, or shouldn't be relied on, or it doesn't get you to 2?
Well, the claim language is at least 2. And so if you tried to read that claim from an infringement perspective on a product that was less than 2, you would lose. Same applies to the prior art. And in this case, when you look at the actual Stevic 1, it doesn't say the Eagle, it doesn't say anything about Eagle. It says, when measured, the temperature of the flame arrestor, there's just one flame arrestor in that, installed at the base of the spout and similar in size to the Just Right device, was always found to be elevated near 200 degrees.
Well, similar in size to Just Right is 3, right?
Correct. But when it says similar in size to Just Right, it's referring to Table 1 that lists a Just Right, an Eagle, and a Blitz flame arrestor. I don't believe they're using any one of those three flame arrestors. If they had been, they would have said the size of Just Right. Instead, they said similar in size to Just Right. Well, if they were using Just Right, they would have said the Just Right flame arrestor.
Wasn't the board really focused on Eagle? The board was using Eagle.
The board used Eagle for everything because the petition used Eagle for everything. And they don't get to move beyond Eagle.
Okay, let me try to understand what was missing here in the petition that the board thought was missing. Because the reply, I'm just having a hard time understanding what, you know, the board wouldn't accept it. But even if the board had accepted it, I'm not understanding what, in addition to the petition, it would have added.
What was missing is that the petition said, if you make Eagle out of plastic, you're done. And if Eagle is only 1.8 inches, you're not done because you're still too short.
So the petition, at least one example of what the petition could have or should have said was, and even if it doesn't, Eagle, even though Eagle is 1.8, it would have been obvious to one skilled in the art for it to move up to 2.8. And
yes.
They could have supplemented that.
They would have to have an additional argument for why it would be obvious to make a modification to its length, which is nowhere in the petition. Separately, as Dr. Roby explained, that flange around the top isn't part of the flame arrestor from the perspective of perforations and things. And so the question is, does that even count? So it might only be 1.5 inches tall. So without an explanation, without a motivation argument, without something to explain why a person would make it longer, it literally comes up short.
And they had to have, in the petition, captured that as at least an alternative.
Yes, they had to make that argument. They don't get to add new arguments to the petition. That's part of the deal the AIA set up. When you file your petition, you have to put all your arguments in it, and then we get to shoot them.
What are your cases? Do you have any cases? Because this rings a bell to me about the petition not having included that extra, but even if it doesn't read on this, it would have been obvious to, you know, to make the modification. Did you cite any cases on that?
We cited a case in our brief. I apologize. I don't have that case.
Because it doesn't seem, if we were operating on a clean slate, it wouldn't seem crazy to me to allow the petitioner, after you hear, if the patent owner comes in and says, no, you're wrong, X, Y, and Z, for the petitioner to come in and say, well, based on this new argument, even if they're right, it would have been obvious to try to do something different. That doesn't, but I think there are cases that say you can't do that.
You can't do that, yes.
Yeah.
And plus, what they told the board is they submitted their own declaration, their own expert, Mr. Safi, and they said Stevic 1 was just preliminary results, and that a Posita would look to Stevic 2 for additional teachings and supplementation. So it's not even a situation where we're just saying, when you look at the two something, we're saying their own expert said, look at Stevic 2 to figure out Stevic 1. And so that's the only evidence there is, and so when the board reached that conclusion, based on their expert's position, it's well-rounded or well-founded factual finding.
You know, this is troublesome. I don't know if it would change the result in this case or not, but the statute doesn't require that all of the arguments be presented and they can never be supplemented. We do have some cases which have felt that there's been a certain inequity if it doesn't work that way. But it's not part of the basic principle of this proceeding, which is that all of the information will be brought out. Would it make any difference in this case if all of the information had been allowed to be brought out?
I don't believe it would make a difference at all because of the motivation to combine and the likelihood of success. But I would point out that we pointed it out in our patent owner response. And instead of them acknowledging that, yeah, you got us on that one, here's the motivation to make it longer, they didn't do that. So if the rule was, if someone brings up an issue, you get to fix it, they didn't even try to fix it. They left it broken. And when you leave it broken without any argument for why someone would make it longer, I believe you're stuck with that.
But that's not the way, well, firstly, you threw in motivation and reasonable expectation of success. So assume for a second,
we're not buying what the board did in that regard. Right.
So why, in your responding to what Judge Newman said, then the board rejected the reply as improper. What you're suggesting is they didn't do enough in the reply. That means the board should have accepted, not that the board should have accepted the reply, and then they could have rejected it on its merits. But in this case, the board rejected even looking at the reply, right?
Well, the reply argument was the Stebic 1 said 3, Stebic 2 says 1.8. Either one would be good. The reply never said, and here's why a person would be motivated to make it longer than 1.8. That's the missing argument, that they never put in the petition that had to be in the petition, and that they never, the fix they never attempted.
That's not what the board relied on.
Well, but what the board said is it's a new argument, so we're not going to let you make it because it
wasn't. But you're conceding here. You're saying it wasn't a new argument. It was just an insufficient argument because they never, in the petition or in the reply, dealt with, put forth an argument that even if it's 1.8, one would have motivated to go longer.
With all due respect, it's a new argument because there's never been an argument in any of their papers that a petitioner, or that a person of skill in the art would be motivated to take a 1.8-inch flame arrestor and make it longer for any reason. They never made that argument, so it's a new one.
They never made it in the reply. So why did the board reject the reply if the reply, in your view, was just nothing new and nothing different than the petition?
It could
have. Why did the board reject it?
It could have. I'd like to hit a couple points.
It could have what? It could have accepted
it. It could have accepted the argument and rejected it. Either one would have gotten you the same place. I'd like to hit a couple points quickly on thermal conductivity and thermal inertia. The board found that a person of skill in the art would look at these characteristics of a flame arrestor when designing it, that metal was and plastic were substantially different in their ability to conduct and absorb heat. And so what you have here is a flame arrestor, Eagle, that has a critical velocity, which means it can only stop flames up to a flame speed of 0.503 meters per second. When the evidence was the minimum speed is 0.4 meters a second, their expert testified that that's where it starts, and like dominoes, it gets faster. Our expert testified, yeah, it does get faster, up to 1.6 to 2.2, I believe, meters per second. And as a result, you have a metal device that absorbs and retains and conducts heat well. They tell you, oh, you would just switch it to plastic and expect it to work, even though the metal is operating right at the minimum threshold to be characterized as a flame arrester. You're going to not switch to plastic, which is an insulator. It's not going to absorb heat well. The testimony the board found, supported by Dr. Roby's declaration, is that the plastic is anywhere from 37 to 1,950 times better at conducting, the metal is better, 37 to 1,950 times better at conducting heat than plastic. And on the thermal inertia side, metal is 1,000 times better at absorbing heat than plastic. And so you have something that's very suited to this environment. Flame arrestors are classically metal. And they're going to switch out a flame arrestor operating right at the threshold of safety with plastic and never ask, will this work? Pinto and Ford tried that. It didn't come out so well. The idea that you can save a little money and don't look. In this case, the other problem is the Stebic references were all about the Grassel equations, which said you check hole size and you check critical velocity. Once you start altering the hole size, one of the variables for calculating critical velocity is the percent of open area. And they never calculated it. So with their new design, whether you add fewer holes with thicker wires or leave the wires the same and have fewer holes, no matter what you do with their modification, it's going to change that fractional free area variable and the critical velocity. And when you're operating right at that point, a person of skill in the art, the board found, would have cared about that. A person of skill in the art would have said, what's going to be the critical velocity of a new flame arrestor? Because it has to be able to stop 0.503 at least, but you just removed the ability to conduct and absorb heat. And Stebic in his paper says that, you know, references the fact that that is what a flame arrestor does, and the board picked up on it, and we pointed it out, and Dr. Roby gave extensive testimony about it, that a flame arrestor works, I'm quoting now from appendix at 822, a flame arrestor works by removing heat from a flame and keeping the temperature of the fuel on the ignition on the other side of the arrestor below its ignition point. And as the board found in its decision, and as Dr. Roby explained extensively in his records, that removing heat is about conductivity and keeping the temperature below the ignition point is about thermal inertia. And so right here in the Stebic paper, it says you need to worry about these things. Dr. Roby.
But it seems like the problem with this argument is that the claims don't require any particular level of thermal inertia or any satisfaction of the Gödel equations.
The question, though, is what would a person of skill in the art do when they saw these two references and thought to combine them? They wouldn't just combine them and say, we're done. They would say, I'm looking at a plastic thermal insulator. I'm looking at a metal, highly conductive, highly inertial device. They're not just going to blindly change one out for the other. And the board so found, as a matter of fact. The board found, as a matter of fact, those were considerations. Those weren't claim elements. Those were considerations for the motivation to combine and for the likelihood of success. And they never showed that their combination would succeed. There's no evidence that we could see. They just said, mechanically, we're going to throw things together till they fit, and we're not going to ask if they work. And the board found that persons of ordinary skill in the art don't conduct themselves that way, that they would ask themselves, will this work? Not just, is it dimensionally aligned, but is it functionally going to work? Because after all, it has to be a flame arrestor, not just a kid's toy. It has to do something. And that's why they'd ask these questions through Grossel. And Stefik taught, Grossel is how you judge those two basic aspects of whether or not it's a flame arrestor. And Grossel said, if you're not above 0.4, it's not an effective flame arrestor. Stefik said that. And so the very teachings of the art are telling you, look at these equations when you're thinking about making a flame arrestor and see that it works before you call it a flame arrestor. And again, those are considerations for the motivation to combine and likelihood of success. Those are not claim elements. And we did cite cases on that for where you get to look beyond the claim language when the references bring up other issues. That was Cook, and that was Arkey was another one that reached that conclusion. And here, where the board has made findings of fact supported by substantial evidence in the manner of the opinion of a guy who's been in the combustion engineering business for 30 years, has a PhD in mechanical engineering, I believe from Stanford, very sharp guy, he's saying that's how people think. The board found that's how people think. Those are fact findings. And in the case of Par Pharma versus TWI, the presence or absence of motivation to combine and reasonable expectation of success are pure questions of fact. And in the Cree case, if two inconsistent conclusions may reasonably be drawn from the evidence in the record, then the PTAB's decision in favor of one conclusion over the other is the epitome of a decision that must be sustained upon review for substantial evidence. So you have to sustain it if it's been fully litigated, and it's a question of fact. And that's certainly true here, where the record is hundreds of pages. And these issues were litigated extensively before the board. Lastly, I'd just like to say, they said in their reply brief at page 12.
You're short of time. One last word.
Okay. I would just say that their expert, Mr. Safi, didn't know anything about the shape size, calculated hole sizes of the Eagle flame arrestor. He didn't know anything about the plastic flame arrestor he was combining, and yet he takes two things he doesn't understand, puts them together, and says, voila, I've got your claim. We submit that's not correct. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Is this real?
First, I'll refer the court to the appendix 2037, which is the declaration that was in support of the petitioner's reply. And there, that's where Mr. Safi specifically said that Dr. Roby had ignored the teachings of Stefik 1, and although a flame arrestor of 1.5 inches long is an obvious design option, Stefik expressly taught that a flame arrestor that is 3 inches long works. This is an issue, again, where we're not relying on the commercial embodiment of an Eagle flame arrestor, but the full teachings of what's in Stefik 1. And you can't ignore that it describes flame arrestors similar in size to the Just Right device of 3 inches. It's not a case of anticipation, it's a case of obviousness. With respect to Stefik 1 suggests that an arrestor of 3 inches in length, it suggests it having the mesh characteristics for the Eagle 1 flame arrestor. With respect to the properties of the combination, whether there would have been a reasonable expectation of success, as my friend on the other side just talked about, he referenced properties of thermal conductivity and thermal inertia. There were no findings by the board on these issues, and those are properties that are not claimed. In addition, as shown in our opening brief, in Scepter's opening brief at pages 44 and 45, the actual Gosell equations or Grossell equations, there was a typographical error somewhere along the way, were satisfied by the combination. So there shouldn't be any question about that. Because the board again erred in failing to consider the full teachings of the prior art, the full teachings of the Stevic 1 reference, because it made its findings on motivation to combine and on reasonable expectation of success are not supported by substantial evidence or not supported by the record. This court should reverse with respect to Claim 1 and remand for further proceedings. Unless the court has any further questions, I will conclude.
Thank you both. The case is taken under submission.